Monday's Kensington Mine Court decision could have impacts throughout southeast Alaska as well as other parts of the state. A training program hopes to place about 250 people in construction and other jobs at the mine. Some will come from the region's economically depressed villages. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
Lillian Lundy is one of the people most directly affected by the Supreme Court's decision. The Juneau grandmother spent much of this decade working to reopen the Kensington mine, about 45 miles north of downtown Juneau.
I started out as a camp maintenance person, and then I was a surface equipment operator.
Backhoes and dump trucks and that sort of thing?
Haul trucks, dozer, front-end loader, skid steer. Get man, fuel truck. Yeah.
She was one of about 40 workers laid off last year when Kensington's owners decided to wait for a court ruling on its tailings disposal plan. Now that it's won, Core Alaska hopes to resume that work soon and begin production later next year. Lundy, originally from Ketchikan, says she enjoyed the remote mine site environment that included a diverse workforce from around southeast.
I worked with folks from Haines, from Mangoon, from Una, from Juneau, from Cake, from Anchorage. They were just from all over.
That's in part due to an employment consortium of three Southeast Native corporations, Juneau's Gold Belt, Kluk Wan Inc., and Cake Tribal Corporation. The group's Randy Wanamaker says, like Lundy, about a quarter of Kensington's employees have been Southeast Natives. That's included residents of villages with high unemployment rates. He says regional hire was also the case for another 25% of the mine's employees who work for one of the member corporations. Wanamaker says Kensington's resumed construction is expected to employ about 300 people, including the 40 or so still on staff. Once in production, the mine will carry about 200 workers. Wanamaker says another 170 or so will find jobs in support industries such as barging.
I think that would help stop the population decline of Southeast Alaska and begin to reverse it, because what we would have are career opportunities, long-term career opportunities.
Some of those hired will likely be former mine workers who lost their jobs over several years. Wanamaker's group is also working with the University of Alaska and the State Department of Labor to train prospective new employees. Village residents who win mine jobs send money home, but they don't necessarily get to go home very often. Bob Martin is vice president of Gold Belt, one of the native corporations contracting with Coeur.
It's kind of a double-edged sword there. They would have jobs and they'd be able to support their families, but those jobs require to be here. We were looking at the possibility of having a dormitory type arrangement people could stay in while they're working their shifts. Working 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off, for instance, they'd be able to go home and spend that time off with their families. But, you know, we hadn't begun to run the numbers on what it would cost to build and operate.
Coeur and its backers blame the layoffs on environmental groups. The Southeast Alaska Conservation Council and others went to court to block plans to dispose of waste rock in a nearby lake. But SEAC's Rod Cadmus says the job cuts were Coeur's choice.
SEAC worked with Coeur for a year and a half to come up with what's called the PACE tailings plan. And that's a plan that would move that mine forward, it would produce those jobs, and it would better protect the environment.
SEAC and other groups still have options that could block or slow the mine's opening, and economic issues with Coeur Alaska's parent company could also create delays. This is Ed Schoenfeld reporting in Juneau.